This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, g'day to all of our Solomon Island listeners and welcome everyone from across the Pacific to Neesian Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my good friend, my Cook Island Koi, Tinirau Arona.
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to all our listeners. Sammy, before we get started with the show, did you see
what have you got for
the
me?
Little cuz, Lima Sopoonga?
Is, looks like he's been in a good paddock. I'm joking.
But
hey, he scored the winning
try for
the Chiefs. Waikato.
That's in the NPC?
Yeah, the one below, domestic competition in New Zealand. Mate, that Waikato team is, they're stacked. They look good. I don't think they've beaten the Blues or the Auckland team for a very long time. So it was good to see him score the match winner and go through.
Samoan, Cook Islander, great work, Leams. But big show to get through today on Neesian Footy Friday. We have NRL round 22 that kicked off last night with the Eels versus Storm, and then we'll touch on a couple games to preview this weekend. Also in the NRLW round 5, we have their magic round, first ever magic round in the NRLW, held in Newcastle. Unfortunately, Sala Tongatuki will be busy. I think she's on her way up to Newcastle, so she won't be making the show today, but we'll cover our favourite games from Magic Round, Round 5. And we have the great man, King Totai Kefu, back with us. It's actually going to be his second last time on the show.
I hate reading that on the run sheet, just saying second last time.
I know. But you do have a good replacement.
I do have a good replacement. I can't announce him yet, but just think big Fijian. But we just need to make sure that he signs on the dotted line, because the negotiation process, it's been a tough one with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a little bit tough. He wants some extra Carver in there as well. but he's it's going to be, I think we're all good to go, but we'll announce that probably next week or the week after. But before we move on, what's your favourite Dotai moment so far?
I think just this knowledge that he brings to the show, you know, to be able to, one, his experience as a player, but then the knowledge as a coach and how he translate that message, how he translates his message for our listeners. Like for me to be able to just sit there and listen and understand everything that he's saying, but it all just makes sense and it's coming from experience and a coaching side point of view. That's the thing that I loved about having Totai on our show.
Nice. I love the fact that he was he was a childhood hero, and to be able to talk to him every Friday, I walk away from all those conversations like, oh man, This is unreal.
And probably the moment we probably won't ever forget is when you threw me under the bus and said, "Oi, ask Totai if he's ever played the British and Irish Lions before."
Mate, you throw me under the bus all the time with my tipping, so I thought I'd get one back. But speaking of tipping and rugby league, let's get to that right now.
Malalele, everyone. Ko hoku ngā, ko Magra Manase. Pea ko kāwen I he polokalama ko Neesian Footy. Te ka aki mo Sam and T. Pea ko kāwen I he Timi Penina Pacifica. Te ka aki mo e whewhine, tamai whewhine koe he Waenga Akapulu.
Yes, round 22 NRL kicked off last night. The Eels took on the Storm in Sydney, and it was the Storm who came out on top. They won 16-10. Their sixth win in a row when they play the Eels. The Storm scoring 3 tries to the Eels 2. Now 3 tries were all scored from Neesian players. So let's talk through these. First one was Eli Katoa, Tongan back rower for the Storm. I'll let you guess. How did he score this try? You've seen it a number of times throughout the year.
Hang on, did he just bust through the line?
No, you've seen it before. Cam Munster puts a little chip kick over
and he runs,
jumps in the air again, brings it down, and then bullies his way over to score the first try for the Storm. He's done it numerous times this year, and it's become one of his strengths, his kick chase, but then the way that he gets up for a big man. You know, he's well over, I think, over 110 kilos to be able to get up that high up in the air. Same as Mark Nawanga Nitawase. But Ali scores the first one. Now, the second one was Fijian player for the Storm, Sammy.
Kamikamitha.
Tui Kamikamitha.
Tackle down 10 metres out from the goal line. Plays the ball to Grant. Melbourne looking to get a roll on here. Comes right. Kamikamitha is straight through paper thin defence. And he's over to score the try with 6 minutes left in the first half. And Tui Kamikamitha, he's over to score. And to the Parramatta defence, he said, Vanaka Bakalevu. He's over. Melbourne 8, Parramatta 4.
He, off Harry Grant, off a quick play the ball, Harry Grant comes out. There's a block shape, so a lead runner in front of Tui. And then Harry finds Tui, and then he just dives straight underneath the post. Scores the second try, and the last one.
I did see this one.
You seen this one?
The man that can fly, I don't know how high he goes, but he can. He always comes down with the ball.
17 out from the line, last tackle for Melbourne. Grant goes left, Pezzett, out the back, Munster. Crossfield kick, Coates and Lomax. Oh, what a catch, Xavier Coates! You can hear the whistle of Jared Sutton. How many times has he done that? Earlier we saw the Elias Akatoa high ball show, and now a perfect kick for Xavier Coates. He scores, 10 and a half to go. Melbourne 14, Parramatta 10.
Just seems like every time you put the ball up in the air for Xavier Coates, he just comes down with it and scores a try. And there was a cool moment where Munster kicks it, Xavier scores it, and he goes, I told you.
Sort of like that, I told you. There was a couple of bleeps in there as well, but they must practice that all the time at training.
Well, it's one of his big, it's his biggest strength, that aerial game. And, you know, when you look at him and Daniel Tupou, there's not many other players that can get up in the air like that and score, come down and score tries. So three tries to the Storm. Now, the Eels, I still think they played a very competitive match. They also kept it tight. Like Xavier Coates, that try was the last on the 70th minute, and it was 10-all at that point. Now, you look at the way the Eels are growing, the way that Jason Rolls is teaching the Eels how to play, they're slowly starting to get it. So think long-term if you are an Eels fan. That did cause some big headaches for the Melbourne Storm head coach, Craig Bellamy, because every time...
He wasn't happy in the box, was he?
He was filthy, which brings me to my first question for you, Sammy. Which coach, or is there any coach that, when it comes to the biggest blow-up that you've been a part of...
Come on, guys, that's an easy question. That's
Jamie Joseph?
Yeah, that's Jamie Joseph.
Oh, it's like I bring up trauma every time I mention this.
Yes, mate, stop it then. Stop it. I'm starting to get over it.
Now, were there any in-game blow-ups, though?
John Mitchell had a good in-game blow-up when I was my first year at the Force there. Like, yeah, he was known for a big spray. But, yeah, those two come to mind straight away in rugby union.
I wonder how Craig Bellamy is after the game. Like, if they see him throughout the game blowing up, I don't think he would have been happy after last night's game. But what he's like when he goes to the players. Now, and he say that because when I coach my kids, I'll have, you know, I get frustrated or stressed and I'll blow up every now and then, but I'll always go after and say, tell the players why. Like, I'll be like, look, man, I've seen you talking that many times. I gave you a couple chances. That's why I blew up. So don't get angry at me when I blow up at you. And then we have that close. They understand. And then we have a bit of a laugh about
it. You hope they understand. That's the thing. You hope they understand.
But yes, the Storm getting the job done over the Eels. Now, two games that stand out for me over the weekend, I have the Warriors versus the Dolphins. The Warriors playing at home. Now, they have a few injuries. Now, long-term injuries to Mitch Barnett and Luke Metcalf due to their ACL injuries. They also lost Chanel Harris-Tavita, Dimitri Valmunga, and James Fitch-Harris, and Wade Egan, their hooker. So some big-time players missing from this team, but it also means big opportunities. Now, this game's about to kick off shortly, and we've seen some rising stars in Dimitri Vemonga and also Leka Halasima for the Warriors. There's going to be a big kid that's going to come off the bench tonight. His name is Eddie Edemaya Doyava. Now, I've had raps on this kid for a while. Great human, a great kid, and he's making his NRL debut. Hopefully I don't get in trouble by saying that, but they are kicking off soon, so yeah. we'll see how that goes. But
the reason why, you know, probably before everyone, but You were over there in New Zealand. You just got back.
Yep. So I went there for a club visit with the RLPA. Got to go and to visit the New Zealand Warriors and present to them. And happy camp, I must say. Like, I know that they do have some big injuries, but just seems like a really close group. Like they're all boys. Boys were playing basketball, having lunch together. You know, there wasn't that sense of pressure or that sense of, man, we're under the pump. It was more, all right, let's get through this. Let's dig down. Spoke to the coach. He's got that same feeling. He's like, next man up. We're all good.
Okay, we've got some good humans there. You're telling me they're winning this game because I'm 0-3. You know, the last 3 weeks for rugby league, my tipping. I need one here too. You've thrown me some duds.
I haven't thrown you nothing.
You have. I asked you for your expert opinion, and you've given me some duds.
Remember, we're competing here, so I wouldn't listen to any of my opinions if we're competing against each other. But they are taking the Dolphins. Now, a few key players that stand out for me in this game, Samoan Cook Islander Francis Molo, he will be playing his 150th NRL game for the Dolphins. The Tongan leader, Felice Golfusi, he also returns to the team from a knee injury. Cody Nikarima, he returns as well. I know Jake Averello, he did play at the six, so he's been pushed out to the wing for Cody. Now, what Cody does, he actually unlocks a lot of what Isaiah Katoa does. If you notice a lot of their shape, it's when those two link up. And it's either Isaiah going to line, creating shape and time for Cody to play, or it's the other way around where Cody's creating time for Isaiah to play. So that's going to unlock them too. My matchup for this game will be the young back rowers Koneli Lemuelu for the Dolphins up against Leka Halasima for the Warriors. So watch out for that. Both play on the same edge, so they'll be getting after it. Massive win if the Warriors get it done, I think, just because of all their injuries.
Don't smirk at me like that. Like, you want to lead me down that path?
Hey, it's a sellout in New Zealand, so they'll be up for it.
I need one. I might have to go the Warriors here. Perfect.
Another game that stands out for me is the Manly Sea Eagles versus the Roosters. Now, their seasons are on the line, both just outside the eighth, the top eight. Manly sitting at ninth and the Roosters sitting at 10th. There's only 6 more games left to go in the season. Manly with no Hamole Olakau'atu. They do have Siwa Tokiaho starts at prop, Lehi Hapoate at fullback, and you've got Toa Fofoa Sipley coming off the bench with Tommy Talau. For the Roosters, you have Nalfahu White starting at prop. Off the bench, they've got the 1-2 punch in Spencer Leniu and Selesi Foketi, but my matchup will be Rob Toya up against Tolu Kola, out wide at the centre positions, both playing on the same edge. So look out for that
matchup. That is a great matchup.
So, Sammy, I've mentioned a number of Nijan footy players that will be playing this weekend. Now, there's been a bit of news in the rugby league world where players thinking of switching their allegiance from the Kangaroos team to their nations like Samoa and Tonga. The new Kangaroos coach, Kevin Walters, says he's called every player who is thinking of switching allegiances and will also meet them in person very soon. What are your thoughts on players switching from Australia to the other nations? We do have the World Cup next year. What are your thoughts on this whole process?
I think I've said it before. The thing that I love about rugby league and their international rules is the fact that you can do that. And I think you should be able to, you know, for Origin, because your Origin is the biggest game on the rugby league calendar. Like, that's the pinnacle. So everyone wants to play that. So I understand there's rules around that. But for the international space, if the game wants to grow, you need all your biggest stars playing. So if you put a restriction on those players and they can only play and just pick and stick and choose, well, there's going to be so many players that aren't playing in those fixtures because they've already decided, and if they don't get selected anymore, where does that leave them? So you want your biggest stars always playing in those type of matchups, and it's going to be hard for Kevin Walters. He said he's going to call every player, but I don't know if it's the coach that should be calling every player, because when Tonga and Samoa come together, it's players pulling
player
all the
driven,
player yeah. driven, you know. So it's like, I want to go play with Critter, I want to go play with Isaiah Gartor. So yeah, who's the pull for Australia, one of those players to try and convince, say, a Payne Haas or a Tino to stay with Australia, but it's going to be a tough one.
One thing I noticed about rugby union, like the pinnacle is Rugby Union World Cup.
Yes, yeah? Yep.
Why is it so prestigious to win a Rugby World Cup, do you think?
Well, it's the history of that. Like, every 4 years this happens. And then the amount of countries that can actually win a World Cup.
That's the key.
That's the key. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, it's not just one team or two teams.
Like, going to my point, you go into a Rugby World Cup, you don't know who's going to win. Like, yeah, there's always hype around the All Blacks, but then
South Africa, England.
But genuinely, over the years, you know, there's been, you know, how many teams would be able to say, oh, we have a chance of
winning?
Different
chance. Now you've definitely got England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Australia. Oh, not Wales.
France.
No, you've got France. Argentina now, like they're a smoky to potentially win. But then you've got the upset games. Like we've seen Japan beat South Africa.
Seen Fiji win games.
Exactly, beat the Wallabies. So that's why the World Cup is so important.
It's competitive. And for rugby league to grow in the international space, you need to make it competitive. It can't always just be Kangaroos going to be winning every World Cup or be the most favourite. And then next in line is New Zealand and maybe England.
Maybe.
But with these tier two nations, you spread out that talent. All of a sudden, we don't know who's going to win. You're going to have more competitive games, more excitement, more hype. And speaking to one of the Kiwi leaders over at Warriors, he said next year could potentially be the best World Cup, the best Rugby League World Cup
you could ever
we
see.
We could have ever had so far because the amount of talent that will be spread out with all the nations.
When you look at it, like when Samoa makes that World Cup, you tell me that those headlines and that story doesn't tell a better story than if it was, oh, here you go, it's Australia, New Zealand again, or Australia, England. So that's what the rugby league needs. And then because the attention is on our Pacific Island players, but I never heard any of this chat when Mitch Moses played for Lebanon, when James Tedesco played for Italy in those World Cups.
I also didn't hear the news when they switched from Samoa to Australia. You know, when
exactly.
a lot of those players
exactly
represented
right.
their, like Tonga represented Samoa before they went and played for
absolutely
New Zealand and Australia. So now all of a sudden it's the other way around. Oh, we hear a bit
exactly
of news,
right.
What I just want to see some, one, if the players want to represent their family and their bloodline, let them be.
Go
but
for
also,
it.
It just makes it a competitive competition right across the board.
Beautiful.
Now, remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia, including round 22 this weekend. In the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they will host the Clydesdales this Sunday in Port Moresby. They fell out of the top eight, so we'll be looking to finish the season strong with four more games to go. Let's go, the Hunters. And the Cavite Silk Tails will head to Sydney's West to play Penrith on Saturday. It might be raining, so be prepared for a wet one.
And very cold out there, very cold out in the Riff as well.
Usually we go to Rugby Union, Sammy, but with no Sala Tonga Tuki, we're going to cover NRLW Round 5. It is Magic Round in Newcastle, so we'll have all the girls playing over Saturday and Sunday. We're going to have a game each. We'll pick out which one stands out for you first.
Well, given it is in Newcastle, I've actually gone the Knights, who are third at the moment, and they're coming up against last place Raiders. So
Raiders last.
Raiders are last at the moment. You know, they've obviously got some defensive issues because some of the score lines have been big over the opening month. But I'm hoping Samai Matalfa, their inspirational captain, can just provide her, give her team that confidence in a sense of her leadership, her actions, to inspire her team to get off the bottom.
It's a long way from Canberra to Newcastle.
It is a long way. I just like Samai Matalfa as a player, as a captain, and I want to see her happy, being successful and winning games of footy.
Who do you think will win?
Probably the Knights.
you're in need.
But I'm going for the Raiders in this one.
Well, the game that stands out for me is the Broncos versus the Sharks. The reason why? Because there is a number of Nijan players very talented players in both teams. So I'll start with the Broncos. You have the Fetu Samoan captain, Aneta Claudia Nuasala. She's starting at prop. You also have Mele Hufanga at centre. I'm pretty sure she's going to score a try this weekend.
She's in a drought at the
moment.
She's
in a two-game, few-game drought.
It's three-game drought.
Three-game. So, Mele, we're cheering for you.
Since she's been on the show.
And yeah, true. And then we also have the young superstar, Shalom Sawaso, coming off the bench. Now, at the with the Sharkies, you've got the Fijian captain, Tale Holmes, starting at lock. At centre, you've got both centres, Anessa Biddle and Tiana Pendatani. And then you've also got the twin sisters. So, Shante Kiria Ratu, she will be starting in the halves. And then you've got her twin sister, Anne-Marie Kiria Ratu, starting at back row. Anne-Marie actually come off injured, so it's good to see that it wasn't a serious injury and she's back named to play. But a big game for both teams. I think the Broncos, when you look at the ladder, I always thought the Roosters, Broncos are going to be up there. They'll be the strong two teams. I'm expecting them to play, be the two teams at the end. But a good test for the Sharkies, a good measure for them on where they stand in regards to the standard of the league coming up against the Broncos. If they can get this job done over the Broncos, I think it'll build a lot of confidence for the rest of their season. So, big game. If I had to tip, I would tip the Broncos. Roosters, they remain undefeated on top of the ladder. You mentioned Raiders with no wins. Also, our good friend Sala Tongatuki and the Tigers have no wins. But big game for them this weekend. With no wins, they play the team that is undefeated in the Roosters.
That's going to be a tough battle, eh?
A tough one, but there also was a debut for the women as well.
Yeah, coming off the bench for the Tigers in number 16 jersey, it will be Luciana Luamanu Leatawa. She has come through the Tigers system, so I think she's the first one to go from the Lisa Fiola through the pathway into the NRLW. So there was some emotional scenes on their social media page, so go and check that out. It'll be a special moment for her and her family. And I want to say as well, hopefully for the Cowboys, I want to see Bunu put on another big shot. She is a beast, absolute beast. So in Magic Round, hopefully we can see some magic from her and the Cowboys.
And who said we were in a cross NRLW? Well, let's head straight over to Rugby Union. Sammy, what do you got for us?
Yep, Rugby Union still full steam ahead across the Pacific. And we'll start off with Manusina Samoa, their squad. They assembled in Samoa and they had their Ava ceremony to kick off their camp as they ramp up their preparations for the Women's Rugby World Cup, which starts on the 23rd of August, and they will be coming up against Australia in their first game against the Wallaroos. So that'll be a big one. So they're in Samoa prepping for that one. Over in Fiji, in the local competition, the Skipper Cup competition, there's been some teams that have been blasted with some drawer players. So if we look at, hopefully they're still playing, but in Lautoka, we have Penny Matawalu and Rambitu playing for Lautoka. And then for Nandrunga, hopefully we'll see Tambua Vol, Drua Sese, Vola Vola, and Basialo. For Nandi, we'll see Nawai and Vukalokalo. And for Suva and Ba, we might see Dhanakai Vata and Nasova. So hopefully we see all those names playing in the local competition over there, because it always makes things exciting. Especially if you're not in those pathways, T, what's it like? You're going back to club footy. You've played plenty of times. Give us a bit of a rundown on what it's like when you've got a status on your back a little bit and you come back and you play in the local competitions.
Yeah, don't expect them to be calling your name out the whole game and wanting just to come after you, make as many tackles as possible. And every time you touch the ball, you've got shoulders coming from all angles. So hang in there, boys.
I know. Do you know one time when I came back from Super Rugby and I played in the local comp, we played against Penrith Emus, all Islanders. And there was times where it was a 3-on-1 and I'm the defender. They just tucked it and just wanted to keep running it at me. And I reckon that's the most amount of tackles I've ever made in my whole career. I was getting bumped and everything, but to prove a point. But it is good to see they are in the local competition. And we'll also go to Big Dotai. He's going to talk about, you know, everything around the Wallabies selection. We see Daniela Tupou come back into the starting lineup. Will Skelton, obviously, he's still there. But Rob Valentini, You know, he didn't come on in the second half last week. Looks like he's re-injured his calf. So that's not good news for him, not only for this week, but moving forward into the rugby championships. And we'll see how that game unfolds. Hopefully, it's 2-1 and not 3-0 to the British and Irish Lions. What's your predictions?
What are your predictions?
I'm going to give you the heads up here. I can't ever choose the British and Irish Lions.
Well,
against the Wallabies.
I wanted 1.5 start.
And I want a bigger head start time around.
What?
Yep.
No.
I want a bigger head start. No, so when we get to that point, I'm going to tell you how much. No.
You're getting more for the Wallabies after they just won.
You know the emotional damage that's going to have on the team.
I want to also know that British and Irish Lions have probably been partying for the last week straight.
Yeah, they treat it like a Barbarians week. That's even more of an incentive to really rock up and put on a show.
I'm not giving any more than...
I need at least 15.
No way.
Look at him. No chance. We'll talk about that a bit later. But that's all I've got for rugby union.
That's all right. Toto Kefi will he'll cover everything.
But some NFL news, because we do cover a little bit of NFL from our Pacific Island Stars. Jordan Pataia, former Queensland Red, former Wallaby, he's playing his first preseason game for the LA Chargers. So when he crossed over to the NFL... But anyway, good luck to him.
Well, let's head straight to our Nijin Footy All-Stars to add our two more players to that squad.
The Nijin Footy All-Stars!
Yes, each week myself and Sam will pick two players from league and union and we'll add them to our squad. And then at the end of the year, we will pick our starting 15 and starting 13. I'll kick us off this round, Sammy. So, rugby league, we seen last week the Gold Coast Titans with their big upset over the Warriors and their winger, Philip Sami. He scored two tries and ran for over 250 metres. He will be joining my squad. And then we've also got Samoan and Tongan, Stefano Toikamanu. Yes, I said and Tongan.
Nice.
But he's that big prop for the Storm, and he scored a try and also made 28 tackles for the Melbourne Storm last weekend. So those two boys will be joining my long list of great players like Tino Fa'asomaliawi, Melehufanga, Sua Fa'alongo, Kion Kolomatangi, and the list goes on. Rugby union, what do you got for me, brother?
We say it every week. It's getting harder and harder to think about who's going to go into our starting side because there's no bench. There's no sitting on the fence. It's straight starting players. So I have gone with Will Skelton. Machine last week. He needed to stay on for a bit longer.
Was he not on your list already?
No, well, because obviously he's playing in France. So we came off the back of Super Rugby. So now we come into the international season. We're going to see a new crop of players come through. So Big Willie Skelton, you're in there, son. And Bundy R. Key, the 35-year-old centre playing for the British and Irish Lions. He comes in because he's been enormous in the two tests that he's played for in this series. So they're my two, bro.
Well, that was a nice glitch that you used there with your two players.
What do you mean? Oh, as in?
As in they've been playing overseas and then I was like,
I've got a new crop to pick from. So yeah. It's going to be massive, my All-Stars team. I started 15.
Awesome. Well, let's get straight to Toto Kefu for his second last appearance on Nijin Footy Fridays.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Toto Kefu!
With Toto Kefu.
Yes, every week on Nijin Footy Fridays, we have a legend of the game to chat rugby. He has played 60 times for the Wallabies. He's coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years, and he was the coach for the First Nations and Pacifica team who played last week against the Lions. Let's welcome him back to Nijin Footy. Toto Kefu, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, boys. I'm very well, Wakesy. My time is counting down here in Brisbane, so I've got to head back to Japan soon, very shortly, actually.
No way. So back to the land of the rising yen over where you're going into Kamaishi. Any more detail from that in terms of, you know, living arrangements, you know, what you're going to do there to fill in all that time in one of the toughest places to live in Japan?
Well, now I spoke to one of the players the other day. He said there's some beautiful beaches there. You can there's a lot of fishing. So I might take some books up there and just read, and you know, time to reflect and just chill out.
The Zen. So you're going to become that. You're just going to Zen out up there. Oh no! All the best, man. Obviously, it's going to be a good experience. And are you going to be head coach?
Yeah, which is the most exciting thing. So, yeah. Look, I haven't done much lately. I've had a look at the schedule and the playing list. You know, we've got something there to work with. I think, I've got a 2-year plan, and hopefully, if I can build some trust with the company and the city, hopefully they'll give me some more money to spend to try and get back up to. To first division is the ultimate goal.
Ah, that makes sense. Now, when you first announced you were going there and Sammy was sharing a bit about what that place was like, I was confused. I was like, why would he go out there? But being the head coach, what an opportunity. Are there any players in your playing squad that we might know of?
Look, we've got a couple of boys that have been around Super Rugby. We've got a young 5'8", Mitch Hunt. This is his second year. He's been in and out of the Highlanders. I think he's been in the Highlanders program for a while. There's a young, he's not yet so young, Benjamin Nini, who's the Samoan lock, who's been playing in the PNC, or the PNC's just about to start, but he played against Scotland a couple of weeks ago for Samoa. So there's a couple of players, but look, certainly if we need to compete with the big boys or even get close to first division, we do need to recruit. So that's the challenge for me, and that's part of the reason why I'm going up there, is obviously being a head coach, but the challenge of lifting this team close or near first division really, really excites me.
You know, when just to give probably even T a bit of context here, but our listeners around head coaching and kantoku, you know, so there is a difference. Sometimes when you go to Japan, like your head coach doesn't actually get to choose the team because the kantoku, the one that sits above.
Is he like the GM?
Yeah, the GM, but sometimes he chooses the team. But how much, you know, power do you have in terms of autonomy over your team in Japan with this one?
Oh, look, I'm hoping I get full autonomy, but, once I get there, I've had a couple of meetings already with the GM and the rugby operations manager, really good people. I like, I haven't met them face-to-face yet, but the vibe seems really positive, much better than the environment I was in last year. So really looking for that. Look, it's got a really good feel about the place, and it looks like, if I can build some trust, I'm hoping that we'll be able to, make some really big decisions around the club in terms of recruitment of staff, coaches, players in the next couple of years.
Just quickly before we move on, I don't know if I've asked you this one. Can you speak fluent Japanese?
I can get by.
I can only imagine as a head coach you'd need to speak the language of
you need a good translator. A really good translator. I think that's probably and Kevs will attest to this, like if you don't have the right translator, getting the right message across, like it's very hard for the boys to understand what you're doing, because you could be trying to give him a spray or something like that.
Being angry
like, and that, and then your translator goes, "Sumimasen, konnichiwa," "genki desu," like just like that, and boys are like
tapering it right down.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it's critical. The translation's critical, but I'm going to have plenty of time there, so I'll probably have to brush up on my Japanese. I'm hoping within the 12 months my Japanese will be improved greatly.
His Japanese famous one is "Sumimasen, nomi hodai," which is he knows that's his favorite one. Is this all you can drink?
Mitsubishi.
Yeah, there you go. He wants a fair few. But anyway, let's get into some footy chat. We'll talk about the Wallabies and the Lions game from last week. One of the best Test matches, I think I've seen in a very long time. What was your initial thoughts, watching that game?
Well, look, the team that took the field, I thought was much, much better than the first test. Not only because it had a little bit of extra pepper in it, But I think just a lot of dynamic, explosive players like Skelton was unbelievable. Valentini back to his best. Those two guys, the addition of those two guys made a huge difference. And you could see when you took them off, the impact just wasn't there anymore. And, you know, I thought Joe might have made a little bit of a mistake. I thought he could have left him on for a little bit longer, although I think Valentini was injured, but certainly Skelton could have gone for another 10 minutes. Look, what an unbelievable game. I thought the Wallabies were a totally different side compared to that first test match. I'm hoping they got some inspiration from the midweek game on the Tuesday. But they certainly ripped in. Totally different mindset. Just guys having a crack. I thought there was a couple of things they could have done better in the second half. Like it came down to that obviously the talking point was that clean out right at the end. But seriously, before that, the Wallabies were, you know, we had nearly a 20-point lead. That probably should have been enough. Mm. So that's one issue there. And there were some mistakes. I thought, you know, the centre pairing missed a couple of crucial tackles that led to tries. You know, I thought having Tommy Liner back backfield catching high balls, I thought there's probably too much pressure or responsibility for him. I thought they should have given that to someone else. But look, I thought it was a game we should have won, but what an unbelievable spectacle. And it would have been great if we did win that. And imagine the hype of this week. It would have been unbelievable.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I've got no doubt, and we said it on Monday's show, that the Wallabies would have taken your game as a blueprint, especially Will Skelton and Rob Valentini, taking it personal, knowing that he had his First Nations and Pacific Island brothers rip in like that. The responsibility was on him to do the same thing. So I've got no doubt that's what happened. We will talk about, let's talk about that penalty. Firstly, penalty or not, no penalty?
Oh, look, I think if you go by the letter of the law, if he does get him at the back of the neck, that is a penalty. But in real time and it's happening so quick, I probably would have let it play on. I mean, I thought it was a really good clean out. I thought Tizzano, I tell you what, if that's George Smith, he doesn't get moved, mate, because he knows how crucial and how important that jackal is. He stays, and if at worst, he probably gives a penalty away, you know?
Yeah, I think, saying to T on Monday, it's 50-50. It could have gone either way, and it probably shouldn't. Like, if you're leaving the fate of your outcome in the ref's hands, it's always going to be either you're either going to be happy or not. But there's those breakdown drills that you do at training all the time around surviving the clean, getting there early, and you're getting hit all the time in around the head area. And, mate, the coaches aren't saying anything then. So it's just one of those ones. But I will ask, if being a coach for Tonga and seeing how Mick Byrne always talks about getting the rough end of the stick, you know, being the Pacific Island Nations, if it was Tonga, Samoa, Fiji in that same position, do you reckon that ends up being a penalty?
No, I reckon it doesn't. I reckon that's a play on. Like I said, that's a really good clean out. What else could he have done? Come in through the side and maybe tipped a leg over. You're not allowed a crocodile roll anymore. So I thought. What they said, Tizzano won the race to the ball. I thought he could have just, instead of, he got moved quite easily. If he won the race to the ball, I probably would have collapsed, and someone's come to clean you out. I probably just would have collapsed on the ball maybe, you know, snaffled it on the ground. I wouldn't have flown out of the ruck like he did because of how important that possession was.
Looking forward to game three. It looks like game two was an amazing game. I think Australia can take a lot of confidence out of that one. But being a dead rubber, this game three for the series, you know, what's the mentality as a coach, probably on both ends? You know, do you try for British and Irish Lions? Are you trying to get the clean sweep for Australia, trying to just earn some respect? What would you do in this position?
Yeah, look, I think look, in terms of the coaches, still highly, highly important. I think from a supporter's point of view, it's a dead rubber, right? But I think if you're Farrell, you definitely want to go the clean sweep, and there'd be some financial bonuses behind that as well. But to go 3-0, they haven't done that since over 100 years. So that they're making history.
Really?
So that's big on the coaches and teams, you know, to create history for themselves. Because let's be honest, there's probably more than three quarters of this team won't be in another Lions squad touring. So for most of them, this is their last crack. So to create a little bit of history, I think that's highly motivational for them. And for Joe, he doesn't want to get swept 3-0. You know, 2-1 looks a lot better than 3-0. And we're getting better and better. One part that I'm highly critical of the whole program, they should have had two or three more games leading into this.
Yeah.
Like they had one game against Fiji, and then their second game, pretty much after some injuries, was the first time the team actually played together, because there were some injuries after the Fijian game. And then the third game, they're absolutely playing to the best of their ability. You know, so someone's got to look in the mirror there. Whoever's in charge of the build-up or the preparation, I think, was poor.
Yeah, there's a couple of players as well. Like, that was actually their first game in ages, you know, coming back from injury, and they've gone straight into the biggest test match of their life. So, yeah, there's probably some selection things as well around that. When you think about the emotional output that went in from the Wallabies, you know, going into this game, and then there's two different preparations, probably Lions are still celebrating. They probably would have got on it maybe up until the Wednesday. But, you know, the Wallabies having that deep look, you know, trying to get themselves back up. Like, how do you see it as well from an emotional point on how do you manage that going into a game like this?
Oh, look, I think as coaches, you know, it's been a highly mental and physical drain, especially for the Lions. They've been on tour now for nearly 2 months, I'd say. So, look, in terms of physical, it's all mental now. I heard Farrell gave the Lions 3 or 4 days off. They didn't get back to training until Wednesday, so they had the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off, which is fantastic. That's exactly probably what I would have done, because it's all mental now. It's, you know, they know what to do. They just got to go out there and do it. And I think I mentioned this before, you know, with the preparation of the First Nations and Pacifica team, it's all mental, right? Like, they're professional players. Give them a little bit of direction, a little bit of a plan, but it's the stuff between the ears that's the most important stuff. So, look, it's been a big campaign. It's been emotionally draining for both teams. So the coaches will be just looking to freshen up their squads as much as possible, both physically and mentally.
I would have loved for you to win that Pacifica First Nations team, being absolutely the only team if they lose this weekend, the Wallabies. But
imagine that.
That would have been awesome. But the speaking of game three, who are you tipping after everything, after game one, game two, the emotional ride? Do the Wallabies have enough to be able to at least save the series and at least get a win before the Lions go back home?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, Valentini's a big, big loss. I would have thought Lou Khan might have come off the bench, and having Daniela Dupol start, I think that's a huge plus. You know, I probably would have even if Lou Khan wasn't, Lou Khan could come off the bench for when Skelton gets tired. I wouldn't even. I probably would have started Lange Gleeson at six. So I still would have gone with a 6-2 split, I reckon. It's interesting that when you look at this, the Lions, Farrell's gone with a 6-2 split. So there's no secret to what they're going to do. They're going to try and be physical, especially up front. But look, I think the Wallabies, I think the Wallabies can win this game, especially after last week's performance. So much is on the line. And I think just that being swept 3-0 is not a good look. I think that's highly motivational for them to finish the series 2-1.
Just for our rugby league listeners out there, 6-2 split, six forwards and two backs on the bench. So last week for the Wallabies, they had to, they weren't probably anticipating that when the winger went down with a hamstring injury, and the reserve halfback had to play on the wing. He did a pretty good job too, Tatey McDermott. Before we finish up, a couple of things. Pacific Nations Cup is only a few weeks away. Seen Tonga start their camp. Did you see who their guest coach was?
No.
Just for the day? Kevi Mialamu. The great man. Nice. They put a Samoan in the Tongan camp.
Yeah. They've got to be careful, these boys. Like,
even though he's a legend, absolute idol of mine. I love Kevy, but just wanted to get your thoughts. Is there any boundaries around, who you're letting, even though they're such great people?
The Western Samoan team are watching our training sessions on videotape now. Jeez, what are they doing there? Look, I've spoken to a few of the players, and Soaks is a great mate of mine. There's a really good feeling in the camp. So I'm really hoping that the Tongan boys could play well, really connect well. Their squad's much better. Some of the selections, they got Charles back there, Benny's back. So there's some highly, highly credentialed players there. They haven't been there since the World Cup. So I'm expecting them to do really well. But as you know, the PNC, it's just bloody, it's war, mate. It's war, And then I love the PNC because out on the field, you bash it out of each other, right? But then straight after the game, you're high-fiving, you're having kava, you're saying a prayer together, and your beer's back in the hotel. Like, it's a fantastic competition, I reckon.
What a weird way, eh? We're going to bash each other, go hell for leather. Hell for leather in that one, and then all of a sudden, we're best mates after it. So, weird feeling. Charlie Gamble, we have him on the show very soon.
Awesome kid.
What's your thoughts awesome around him? Kid. Have you got something for us that happened in camp that we can bring up with him? Outside of looking Portuguese and Greek.
Charlie Gamble. No, not really. He was a quiet kid, actually. I didn't know much about him. I had a chat to him, and I think it was his mother that's Tongan. His mum's Tongan, and his father must be Greek or Italian. That's where he gets the mustache from. But what a great kid! And geez, he wouldn't be too far out of that Wallaby squad. But what a lovely kid! And I follow his career with a lot of interest now.
Nice work. And that brings us to the end. And this is going to be a sad day this time next week, as it is the big man's last episode.
Well, at least we get to see him.
We do get to see him in Japan in his new penthouse over there in Komachi. Oh,
surely there's some guest appearances.
Oh, absolutely,
the
there is.
Come on.
Course, no, mate, there is. But you know, the weekly chats. I really look forward to chatting with you, mates. It's been a pleasure.
Actually, I don't think we shoot the bullet this early because that time in Japan, he'll be calling us and, oh, get me back on.
We've already got a replacement, so stay tuned because we have a big man coming on to replace him just as good. So you know what it's like. You're straight, as soon as you're not in anymore, you're straight at the door. Someone comes in to fill the seat.
Jeez. The coffee's not even cold yet, mate. Jeez. You blow.
Sorry, mate. This is show business. This is show business.
The show must go on.
It must go on, mate.
With your flight tomorrow, have you got business flights to Japan?
It's a Jetstar plane, so I'm up at the front only because Jetstar backing cattle's small.
Oh, mate, I've been in Jetstar business, mate. It's like you can put your chair back a little bit. It's nothing flash, but
yeah, it's nothing flash.
I'm just throwing it down. Terry Kitter's looked after you again from Newstar, perfect in the contract upgrade. But hey, we'll talk to you next week. It's going to be a fun episode.
Safe travels.
All right, boys.
Pacific Scientific is back with more incredible stories. Uncover ancient monuments hidden beneath the jungle.
You and I could start from the lagoon in the morning and walk all day till dark, and we'd still be walking across terraces.
And swim in rare, isolated lakes.
Palau is such a geological freak show. We call this Einstein's Coral Garden.
Pacific Scientific, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. PNG time, right here on ABC Radio Australia.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, our knockout tipping time, where we will pick one team from league and union, and you're not allowed to pick that team again until you pick the rest. Now, the loser at the end of the year will win or buy the winner a jersey of their choice. I'm sitting on 25 points. Sam's on 22. He is 0-3 in NRL since
so we restarted. Because of you, I'm blaming
that
you.
That is not me. But last week, I have to say, that Wallabies and British and Irish Lions, I knew that 3.5 points was going to be just too much. And they creeped in, losing by three.
That's a great prediction from both of us, really. For me to ever say, no, I reckon it's going to come down to that 3-point mark. It could have been.
So could I've said 2.5 and you would have gave it?
No, because you almost won. If Finn Russell kicks that goal at the end, then I
don't watch the game. I just see the final score.
Yeah, so Finn Russell had the chance to actually win it. Or as in win it.
Oh, how far was the kick?
That was that, you know, that spot.
Oh, that spot.
You know that
40
spot.
Out, yeah. Bit to the left.
Bit to the left.
Actually, speaking of kicking, did you see Ryan Papenhuyzen's kick?
Upright,
but right in front, like in line with the goalpost, 10 metres and upright. Didn't even get over.
Was that one of Craig Bellamy's, like, blow-ups when it doesn't go over from
the front? I think it was
front?
The one he missed, the penalty kick he missed again.
One job, goal kickers. One job. But anyway, let's get back to our tipping.
Let's go for league.
All right, league first. Am I going the Warriors? You were there. You got a vibe. I know come top eight, I might not be able to choose them again, but I need to get on the board in rugby league.
I would. For me, I'll sit on the fence for the Warriors and Dolphins.
You're too competitive. Sharks, Cowboys. Sharkies, Cowboys. Do I go the Sharkies at home?
I think the Cowboys are quick. The Dolphins are good. Warriors, yeah, up to you. You choose.
Right. You're no help here, man. You know what? Sharkies, you said it's old boys day. You are going out there.
Every game I've been to, they've lost. And last year's old boys game was, I think that was the Warriors one. And Sean Johnson scored that winning.
Don't tell me that. But I'm going to buck the trend. I think you're going to be the good luck charm this week. I'm going to go the Sharkies.
Oh, it's going to hurt. Don't go Sharkies.
Shush.
Don't go Sharks.
Nah, not listening
to you. Because I don't want, like, if they win, I want to be happy. But I'll be like, ah, Sam got a
one point. Oh, let it go. You're too competitive.
All right. Well,
I'm going to the Sharks.
I'm going the Roosters to beat Manly because it's a tight one. And I think it's going to be a cool game. But Roosters just edged them with some of their key players in Marky Mark, the boys coming off the bench, Spencer Lenu, Celeste Fochetti.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going Roosters. And then what are we doing in rugby
Wallabies,
union?
Wallabies, Lions. I think it should be an 8.5 start for the Wallabies.
I'll give you a 6.5.
I'll take that.
All right, 6.5 start.
That's us done. Perfect. All finished. Here we go. That's us done for Nisian Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows. Just subscribe to the podcast or just search for Nisian Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll see you all next Friday and you will
Oh, you're not here on Monday.
You got Will Hopuate.
Will Hopuate.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.